Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happy, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what? One of the biggest things that we're going to be dealing with today, and this is a really big time topic that we have, it's about divorce. You know, U.S. divorce rates are approximately 2.3 to 2.4 people per thousand people living. So think about that. That's 673,000 people got divorced last year. 40 to 42% of first marriages are projected to end in divorce. Gray divorce trends are even higher, as much as 60%. And you know what? The average duration of a marriage is 8.2 years. It turns out the state of California, woohoo, has the highest proportion of marriages ending in divorce at 60%. Wow. It's insane. But the big thing that we want to pay attention to is there's emotional and financial things you need to be prepared about, you need to be thinking about. And that's the reason why we have Leah Hadley here today. She's the founder and senior wealth advisor for Intentional Wealth Partners and Intentional Wealth Solutions. She's 20 years of experience in financial services. She specializes specifically in helping women navigate divorce, major life transformations, and with a lot of clarity and confidence, which is helpful. Leah draws her experience from not only her professional side, but she's lived it. So you get that, okay? She's compassionate. Her new book, Intentional Money, is a practical guide designed to help women take control of their finances and build long-lasting independence. So Leah, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate you being here.
It is my pleasure to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I've got to start with this. You know what? Tell us about your journey. You know, I know you went through a divorce. Why it became helping women navigate divorce and major life transitions just became your passion?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The more I share my own story, the more I realize it started much sooner than I realized. My own parents went through their divorce when I was 8 years old. And so I was raised by a single mom. Divorce wasn't as common back then as it is today. But I had experience growing up with a family where, you know, I had half siblings and you know, all of that. Those challenges that people talk more openly about as it's more common nowadays, but it just wasn't as common back then. And so my journey started then, but I became a teacher. I was teaching for Baltimore City Public Schools. And Steve, I was burnt out in the classroom. I was drowning in student loan debt. And I decided I just needed to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I took a temp job that happened to be at an investment bank. And I was very fortunate at that investment bank. Now, when I walked in that first day, I thought everybody around me was speaking a foreign language. I truly did not understand what they were talking about. I had no idea there was a language around wealth creation, around the preservation of wealth, and a whole industry built around it, right? It was just completely unfamiliar to me. And here I was, somebody who had a master's degree, who had started their career, walking into this place and realizing that there was this whole language that I needed to learn. And that was a really eye-opening experience for me. I spent almost 10 years in equity research before I became a financial advisor. And when I was working as a financial advisor, that's when I went through my own divorce. And that is when I realized that it didn't matter the level of highly financially complex things that I was capable of doing. When you feel like your whole life is unraveling and you don't know what that next chapter looks like, and for me, my kids were young, I had three young children at the time, all of a sudden the financial decisions feel insurmountable. And I think as a financial professional, if that's the experience that I was having, I think it's really important for us to normalize the fact that, hey, when you're going through this huge change, it doesn't matter what your background or experience is. a lot's changing. There's a lot in motion, and you're dealing with the complexity of the grieving process. So whether you are, feeling a lot of anger in that moment, or you're just in denial and you don't want to deal with it, wherever you're at in that stage, it really clouds your judgment, right? And so that really was what inspired me and motivated me to focus my work on supporting families through the divorce process.
Wow, you know what? I was just thinking when you say that you're really overwhelmed. See, I in some of our blogs and emails, people have said, you know what? I'm a this and this executive at this company, and when this hit, I felt like the biggest deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
You know, I felt like
absolutely.
I, you know, it's time to jump towards that car like a deer does,
Yeah,
or jump through.
I think people would be surprised how many divorce attorneys hire folks like me to support them in their own divorce cases. And it's exactly that, right? You may have all of the expertise in a particular area, but when it's your own life and it's really personal and every decision you're going to make impacts not just your day-to-day today, but long term, it's just a different conversation.
Oh yeah, totally, totally, totally. So thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful. So we've talked a little bit about your journey here, but let's talk a little bit more about the emotional impact. Somebody says, you know what, I've had enough. It's time for divorce. Okay, so when somebody starts from that emotional decision of with your partner, then it's like, okay, who, how do I tell kids? How, you know, what's all that?
Yeah, I think one of the trickiest things around terminating a marriage is the fact that most people are processing in different timelines, right? So one person tends to be the person who's going to ask for the divorce, right? That person has probably been thinking about it, unless there was a very specific event that led to this decision. It could be months, it could be years. Steve, sometimes literally people will reach out to us years in advance in order to prepare so that way they can feel confident financially on the other side, right? For the person on the receiving end of that information, it just depends on the nature of a relationship, whether or not they really realize that that's where things are headed. And so, one of the first things that people are really challenged with, of course, communicating to their spouse that this is how they'd like to proceed, but then dealing with what comes next, right? Because what comes next is going to vary widely based on where people are in terms of processing this transition, right? If somebody's really surprised and very triggered by this information, they may be lashing out, right? For some people, they may be in a situation of, wait, maybe we can still figure this out. Maybe we can still work this out, which is very, very common. And suddenly behavior starts to change. So there is a lot of complexity that goes into those emotions around just having that conversation and what comes next. And a lot of that is what led to that conversation. For some people, and I always, always, always encourage, even if you're not trying to reconcile the marriage, to consider couples counseling for a period of time, first and foremost, we'd love to see if you can reconcile, that's fantastic. But just developing those communication skills to get through this next stage is incredibly empowering.
Yeah, you know, I was just reading something on, and I won't go into the celebrity, but one of the celebrities married somebody that was in another country, and they, when they got divorced, they did counseling and they actually agreed not to say anything negative about each other in front of the kids or in the news or anything like that to create a positive relationship for those kids so they wouldn't have issues with either parent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always go that way.
Of course not. Yeah, but I think it's really helpful for each parent to think about what kind of relationship do you want your kids to have with that other parent, right? For most people, when we take a step back and we think about, well, what kind of relationship do you want to have with your mom? Do you want your kids to have with their mom? Or do you want your kids to have with their dad? That becomes a different conversation than coming out of this space of anger or whatever may have led to the divorce.
No, I think that's wonderful. Now, you got to tell family. That's, you know what, I've probably got 100 questions like, you know, how do I tell family?
Yeah. I think this is a really important question. I think you want to be really thoughtful and mindful, but I think you also want to recognize the family that you come from and the family that you married into, and how those relationships may change. Now, for some people, I'm very, very fortunate. My former mother-in-law still reaches out with love and is just such a joy in my life, and I'm very grateful for her. And I know a lot of people don't have that experience. I know my own mom was incredibly supportive of my ex-husband when she was alive. And so that was so valuable for our family and for our kids to know that, hey, we are all still a family. Things may not have worked out between mom and dad in the way that we had hoped. Our relationship change doesn't change the way we love each other and our family, right? But the reality is, you're dealing with all kinds of personalities when people are going through these changes, and you're dealing with all kinds of baggage, things that may have happened in the past that are suddenly potentially being triggered by this transition. So we always encourage people to tell people and be honest, but be very limited in the amount of information that they are providing. So, yes, there is a change happening, but I'm not ready to talk about it right now, or I'd like to keep the details personal, or something along those lines. Lines to just stop people from rightly digging into the conversation. I think one of the things that's incredibly important is a lot of times people kind of get other people's thoughts or opinions in their ear that can actually really blow up a divorce case. And so the more that you can really stay grounded and focused on what matters to you and to your immediate family and kind of like let the noise go, the more level-headed you'll be when making these decisions.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I had a family member that went through divorce many, many, many years ago. And I was actually working overseas at the time. And I was talking to my family member. And, she was telling me what was going on and all that stuff. And what was really interesting is she was just in all tied up about telling my folks. So my folks are still alive. They're 89. They've been married for almost 70 years. Okay. So, or 65 years plus. Okay, so it's one of those things, they come from an era where people don't get divorced, just like your parents did. So she was very, very worried about what the reaction was be. And when she said something, and I was worried about what the reaction would be, just because of the way I grew up and, that
Sure.
strong Catholic family and all that kind of stuff. And as soon as she said what was going on, he goes, "What do you need from me?"
Yeah.
Boom, all over with. And it turns out, like you said, she was taking care of, she actually took care of many of her ex-husband's family members when they were having health issues, and the mom, the whole shot. So she was very, very connected with the whole family. And she was part of the glue that kept the whole family together, even though her ex was kind of like the person on the outside. But so it was very, very cool. Folks, stick with this. We're going to be right back. We're going to get some great stuff here with Leah.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. So we're getting back right here with Leah. Let's start talking about the financial impact of divorce. This is a biggie because, at the end of the day, once that relationship's over, it's about money. So let's start talking about money.
Absolutely.
So let's first start talking about what are people realistically looking at here?
You know, it's really interesting to look at the finances. We see everything under the sun. I mean, really, truly, right? We see extremely high income earners with very, very little assets and significant debt. And we see those with modest means that have done a really fantastic job of saving, right? The people who are going to have the biggest challenge from a financial perspective coming out of the divorce are those who are already spending beyond their means, right? If you have one or two incomes supporting one household and you're already stretched thin, trying to support an additional household on the same level of income is going to feel very, very challenging. That's reality, right? If you are people who have been living well below your means, you've been good savers, it's just not as difficult because you have the liquid assets to kind of smooth things out and make things a little bit easier for yourselves. So, first and foremost, let's be realistic about what your current situation is. If you had already gotten into a house that you could barely afford the mortgage on as a couple, it's going to be very challenging to retain that house in your divorce settlement. And one of the most common mistakes that people make when they're negotiating their assets is they're really focused on their current discomfort, right? How can I ease the discomfort in the moment and not thinking about, look, divorce can be the largest financial transaction you'll experience in your life. Most people don't look at it that way. There are a lot of moving pieces, and for a lot of people, that absolutely is the case, right? And so making sure that we have, you know, we're thinking about it as a financial transaction. We're creating a strong financial foundation for ourselves moving forward. That means having savings, right? That means eliminating high interest rate debt, right? That means having those basics in place. If they didn't exist before the divorce, they're going to be harder to come by after. That's reality, right?
Wow, I never thought of it that way because I, you know what, I've come across a lot of people who, and you probably have in your practice, who have high incomes, but you know, whether doctors, lawyers, and they just keep spending it all, and there's nothing there other than, like you said, high debt and very little assets. So even if they sell the house, there's not much left over after it. So it's, you know, so that's very, 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 very problematic. So let's also talk about a little bit of preparing to deal, like, you know what, you're going through divorce. There's emotional things that come up. Nobody's just that stoic person the whole time. And there's triggers and all that stuff. I mean, you've been through it. And you probably dealt with people who have had emotional events in your office just going through it, and it isn't about the money.
Yeah.
So, you know what? What are the things that is normal? Okay, I'll say this because the funny thing is, you know what, when my wife was in this Mothers with Preschoolers program, and you know, they would go to the park and they all play, and one mom goes, "You know what? I think my son's crazy. I mean, he's eating crayons." And they're like, "Oh, no big deal. My kids does that too." And everybody's like, "Oh, he's normal." So let's help everybody be a little bit normal. So one of those things that, you know what, you're working, you're trying to get through this. What are the emotional things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, a week-to-week basis, that people just need to know, hey, that's normal?
Yeah, there's so much. You know, we have a divorce coach on the team. Her name is Liesl. She's absolutely wonderful. And one of the things that she's always telling people is to keep in mind that fear is unanswered questions. It is completely normal to feel fearful about the divorce itself, about the actual divorce process, and certainly about what life looks like on the other side. That is completely and totally normal. And as Liesl says, that tends to be unanswered questions. And so what I really, really encourage people to do, Steve, is to just get a piece of paper out and let's just brain dump. What are all those things that are swimming around in your mind? Whether it's where am I going to live? How am I going to be able to provide for my children? You know, what happens if I outlive my money? For those who are divorcing later in life, that is a very big concern for people around, you know, potentially not being able to live the rest of their life on their settlement and having to reenter the workforce in their late 60s or 70s. That's a very real concern, right? But we want to get those out of your head and onto paper so we can really start to address the things that you have fear around, the questions that you have, right? And so for a lot of people, that does have to do with cash flow. And financial planning can be incredibly clarifying, as you well know. And so if your concerns are, am I going to be able to pay the bills? Let's actually dig into the numbers and let's answer that question because honestly, Steve, you may find that you have financial commitments that you're not going to be able to maintain based on the change in your life, right? I've certainly seen people having to get out of high car payments, for example, right? We want to keep those fixed expenses lower when we're going through a life transition like this to have some flexibility. The higher those fixed expenses are, the more money we have committed every month, the less freedom and flexibility you have as that budget is evolving. It's very, very common for people to plan from a budgeting perspective based on what life was like prior to the divorce. And I really encourage people to start building up from what do I want my life to look like, not what did my life look like, right? What do I really want to take ownership of going forward? And let's build up the numbers from there. It's actually a really empowering way to do it, but it also addresses the fact that a lot of times people are really grieving the changes in that lifestyle. And so when all we're doing is focused on taking things out, that can be a process that feels very draining. But when we're looking at it as creating a life, building up what the numbers look like from something that feels empowering, it's just a totally different experience.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about what you just said there. So the whole focus is you can eliminate a lot of the fear and the anxiety if you start planning for what you're looking for, the life you want to lead afterwards, and then start budgeting towards that, knowing that, you know what, you had two incomes before. It might not be this high, but it might be down here, but you can build back up to that high, providing you have a solid plan to figure out what you need to do to get to where you want to go.
And part of it is really unpacking the fears, right? So, like, this was years ago. I was working with a couple who their sole priority was to keep their kids in the school that they were in. But the house that they were living in was just not going to be affordable for either one of them. It was just an unrealistic situation. When we started working together, they were so focused on how are we going to keep this house that that's all they could consider. That's all they were looking at. But when we really dug into why does this house actually matter, it wasn't the house that mattered. It was the school for the kids in their specific situation. Okay, well, there are a lot of solutions to solve for that particular issue, right? So that allowed us to have that creativity. So yeah, when we start to really unpack the fear and see where it's coming from, it allows us to open our minds to other solutions that may solve for that issue.
So it really is to get down to the minute, the whys, the whys, the whys, the whys, and
Yeah.
then you're there. Okay, perfect, perfect. So what you're really saying is you could eliminate a lot of that fear if you get down to the why is this important? Why is this important? Keep going down. What is the base thing there that makes everything work for both of you? And then you can
Absolutely.
come
And
up with
then
a
just
wonderful.
getting answers to your questions. Don't leave them sitting like as an open tab in your mind, right? But if I'm really worried about whether or not I can refinance the house in my name, let's get you connected with a lender who's going to walk you through those numbers and let's be realistic. Let's not guess.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, so folks, you know what? Now we've been talking about the financial side of it. The next part we're going to be talking about the attorneys. What to look for. Hey, Lee is not an attorney. So she's got a lot of experience in this. So she's not going to give you legal advice, but she's going to say, here's what you want to think about. Here's who you want to communicate with. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Leah Hadley.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happy, healthy relationship with money. Again, you know what? I want to thank you for joining us, sharing your stories with us. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. There's an Insiders Club. You can get the guest gifts, get all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Lots of fun. Hey, let's get back to Leah Hadley here. We're going to start talking about attorneys. Not the ones you see on TV chasing ambulances and stuff like that. We're talking about the ones that help people through divorce. Now, I read a statistic that the cost of a divorce ranges almost on average is about $15,000. Okay. And that's probably pretty cheap. I'm not quite sure. But I think the important thing is to find the right attorney. So since you've been dealing with people who've gone through divorce, they're always dealing with an attorney. What are the questions that somebody should ask before they engage an attorney?
Yeah, I love this question. And I don't know if you know this, Steve, but I actually have a podcast called Intentional Divorce Insights. And every single time I have an attorney on the podcast, I ask them what they think clients should be asking attorneys, because I think it's such a good question. But, you know, it surprises me always. I see it on Facebook groups or different on social media where people will say, can you recommend an attorney to me? And for me, I have a lot of questions for somebody before I recommend an attorney. I think it's really important to understand, just like financial professionals, any of the professionals in your life, they're going to have different specialties. They're going to have different experiences. And some are going to be better suited for certain kinds of divorce cases, and others are going to be better suited for other kinds of divorce cases. So what do I mean by that? First and foremost, it's important to understand that there's more than one way to go about terminating a marriage. A lot of times people kind of have this image, whether it's like from the movies or social media, of somebody filing for a divorce and serving their spouse the divorce papers. Vast majority of times, that's actually not the way it starts off. You may find that you're in a situation where you and your spouse have decided jointly that you're going to terminate the marriage, and you want to approach it from a collaborative way, whether that is a collaborative divorce, which is a very specific structured process, or it might be a cooperative divorce, which is a less structured process, but still attorneys working together to come to resolution. It might be mediation, where you have a mediator facilitating the conversation that's getting you ultimately to resolution. Now, some attorneys are much more focused on litigation. And so if you are a case that maybe has maybe some additional complexity, we see a lot of cases with mental health issues, there may be some other reasons that it's high conflict, then you probably want an attorney who is well-versed in litigation, because your case may end up in court. And so you want somebody who can support you through that process. The person who is really a well-trained litigator may not be the same person who's really going to support you through mediation and help you understand how to make the most of a mediation experience. Excellent skills, important skills, but for two very different kinds of cases. And so I think it's important for us to just start with, what kind of support do I really need? You know, we have some attorneys that we work with where the clients will come work through the financials with us, and we're primarily sending them to the attorney to document everything, get it filed with the court, right? Where we have other cases that are very complex, require a lot of subpoenas to get all the financial information that we need, we really need those litigators to help us work through that. So first and foremost, start with, where are you and what kind of support do you need? And talk to the attorneys that you're meeting with and ask them, how do you support your clients? How many of your cases go to trial? Do you support the mediation process? Are you a trained mediator, right? Understanding what their experience and expertise is really important. But I think it's also incredibly valuable to get referrals from people who have worked with these folks in the past. They're going to know the number one thing complaint that I get from clients is that my attorney is not responsive, that I can't get a hold of them. So obviously, I'm not going to refer somebody an attorney that I have trouble getting a hold of and communicating with, right? And so when you're getting referrals from other professionals in your life, you know that there has been some vetting that has already happened, and you can feel more confident in that decision. But again, it's not going to be the same person for everybody. And so questions that I'm wondering before I make that referral are, first and foremost, how well are you guys getting along, and what process do you think will most likely be the case? Are there kid-related issues involved? Is there something, do we need a strong child advocate in this case? Are there special needs involved? Whether that is your own children or other family members that you might be supporting, how do we need to factor that in? Is there a business involved? Do we need somebody who has more experience dealing with the complexities of business, right? So that's really what it comes down to, is matching your situation with the attorney that has the experience that you need, who's really going to be able to advise you through the process.
Okay, so this is a question. It's wild. I got 500 emails. Crazy spouse. So, that crazy spouse just could be a very, very upset spouse. It could be somebody who has legitimate mental issues, bipolar, what have you. They're saying, hey, what's the best? I'm going to say, I'm not asking for legal advice, but you know what? If you're dealing with something like that, and it's usually the spouse that's crazy because one-sided, the spouse fired four attorneys and decided to be her own attorney. And all that did is prolong the process and the cost. So, you know what? Is there any advice with those type of situations?
Yeah, first and foremost, we work with a lot of people who have specifically experienced financial abuse. That's just something that we happen to be known for, and so we get a lot of those cases. Whenever there's financial abuse, there is typically other kinds of abuse involved as well. My first question, Steve, is always, are you safe? Let's first and foremost focus on physical safety and make sure that if you're not feeling physically safe, that you are putting the steps in place to make sure that you are in a position that you can feel physically safe, right? We're not going to be able to talk about the numbers or anything else until we make sure that your physical safety is prioritized. But it is, to your point before, it is a very triggering experience. And so for people, a lot of times people, and I share this with my colleagues as well, just as a reminder, that most people are at their worst when they're going through the divorce process. That's normal. People are absolutely going through that grieving process. And a lot of times people think that's a linear process. It's not a linear process. People kind of bounce back through the stages, but that anger phase is very real. That is a very real phase and normal. We have this wonderful membership program called the Empowered Sisterhood, and one of our members was sharing the other day, I'm feeling really angry. And I said, that's wonderful, because for a lot of people, they won't acknowledge those feelings of anger. But when we really acknowledge, that allows us to process them. But if your spouse is feeling very angry and they're lashing out at you and they're feeling very triggered, I think divorce coaches are invaluable when it comes to, how do I communicate in a way that addresses what needs to be addressed and absolutely limits the communication to just what needs to happen. And for some people who are in that space of, everything's going to just amp it up, amp it up, amp it up, sometimes we just need to really minimize the communication.
Okay, that's really good to know. Because sometimes people want to force that and it doesn't go well.
Right. No, it can absolutely blow things up as far as a divorce case goes, for sure.
Oh yeah. Hey folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Leah Hadley.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're talking to Leah Hadley. We're going to get right to it. You know what? People go through a divorce. They got their separate attorneys. They might have had a financial advisor that helped both them and their husband before. The question is, should we keep the old financial advisor or source a new one? First question is, why? What should we look for? And most importantly, what are the questions to ask? Because I think if you're going to go through a divorce, you're basically killing your previous life, so to speak, and you're starting a new one. And I can understand the transition, the anger, the emotion, and everything that goes along with that. But now it's like, okay, you know, what do I do with the financial side of this? Who do I trust? Because I've had people say, you know what, I don't trust my own financial advisor because he's still taking care of my ex-husband. And I've seen him stick with the same one. So, and I've read statistics says, you know, 85% of the time if somebody gets divorced, they're finding a new financial advisor. So, you know, help us walk us through that, because that's just a big thing.
It is. You know, I think it's a really important question. And I think it's a question that each individual kind of needs to ask themselves. I don't encourage people to change financial advisors during the divorce process. I always encourage them to first and foremost focus on the settlement. And then if they decide to change in the future, that's fine. But if they need support on the settlement, getting an independent certified divorce financial analyst who is not your financial advisor can work either as an advocate or as a neutral, depending on the nature of that person's practice. But like for us, we will either be hired as an advocate or as a neutral. Either way is fine. To advise you on the divorce specifically, you can decide how you want support going forward. If you loved your financial advisor, you had a close working relationship, they understood your goals and they supported you well, I don't see any reason to change that. If that's working for you, I think that's fantastic. I think it is very common, though, and we hear it across the industry, where a couple may have a financial advisor, but they have kind of a primary client and a secondary client. If you've always felt like that financial advisor was just focused on your spouse and maybe doesn't understand your individual goals, maybe that's not something that you guys have even talked about, maybe that's not the right fit for you. I always feel like, if you think you might want to change, have some conversations. That, for financial advisors, that typically isn't going to cost you anything. And at least you can kind of get to know, hey, I love who I'm working with. Maybe I'm just going to stick with it. Or there are some other options that feel better to me. And I think that's fantastic. The thing that I think is really important to know, though, is not all financial advisors are experienced specifically with the divorce financial analysis. And even the CFP board recently came out and made a recommendation that if CFPs, certified financial planners, have clients who are going through a divorce, they do encourage the divorce financial analysis be done with a certified divorce financial analyst. It is a different thought process than traditional financial planning. And the thought process is within the context of the law in that state. And so having that expertise specifically as you're selling your divorce is incredibly valuable.
Okay, so there's a term you utilize called neutral. So help our audience understand what that really means so they can get the context of that.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked the question. So when we're hired, we're either hired as for one of the parties, maybe through their attorney or through themselves directly, or by both of the parties. So if both parties are engaging us, then we're serving as a neutral. It's very similar to the role of a mediator, but in this case, it's a neutral for financial analysis. And so looking at what is important to each of the parties, and I personally, the way I structure my neutral engagements, I have an individual conversation with each of the parties first before I go through the financials to get a clear sense of what really matters to them, what's important to them, and what they're really worried about. Then we go through the financials, and instead of meeting with them each separately, I'm meeting with them together. And together, we're working toward coming up with what is a reasonable settlement that we can maximize the marital estate, minimize taxes, minimize the administrative expense with dividing things up, that kind of thing.
Okay. So basically, as a neutral, you're sharing the facts with them and saying, okay, this is what you got. This is how much income you got. You know what? How do you want to do it?
Exactly.
This is important to you. This is important to you. Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay, so if somebody says, okay, now I want to find another financial advisor, okay, because I just want to move away. What are the questions that somebody should be asking over and above their licenses and their CFP stuff and all that? What should they be asking?
Yeah, I think it's really important for people that you are working with to have experience working with folks like you. And so whatever your situation is, we have kind of a wide wide scope when it comes to this work. But like for some of our financial advisors that we work with, they may specialize in physicians or orthodontists or veterinarians or what have you. And if you want that specific expertise, then I think it's important that you find somebody that has that expertise. For me, I am all about building financial confidence, building financial literacy. I just, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, had a woman who decided to leave the firm and manage her investments on her own. And for me, that was amazing because I've educated her to the point of having the confidence that she now feels like she can manage that portfolio for herself. So the kinds of people that we work with are those who really want to learn, who really want to understand. For a lot of people, they don't want to learn. They want to just be hands off. And then you find an advisor where they're just going to take care of it for you. But I think, again, similar to where we talked about the attorneys, it's finding the people you feel comfortable with. We are the first call when somebody loses a job, when somebody has a major health crisis, any kind of major life event that's going to impact their finances. You want to have somebody on your team that you feel confident enough that when I'm going through a big struggle, something that really feels big, I know I can pick up the phone and I can have somebody walk me through this.
Okay, so now I want to ask you about your book.
Okay.
So let's talk about intentional money. So explain what the concept of the book is, what people get out of it if they read it, that type of stuff.
Yeah, so intentional money talks about a framework that I've created called the intentional money method that's designed with six pillars. And it starts first and foremost with getting really clear on where you are and what matters to you. So clarity is the first pillar. There we look at values. That is really the lens at which we're looking at everything. There's so much noise in the world, whether it is your spouse or your child or your parent or your neighbor, that it's very hard for a lot of people to make financial decisions because they're hearing so many different messages. When we get really clear on what matters to you, what your values are, what we really want to prioritize in your plan, it's a different conversation. So really getting clear on values. Mindset is the third pillar. Mindset is interesting because it's kind of happening in the background. A lot of people don't even recognize the decisions they're making in their life based on maybe money stories that they were raised with, maybe being told that they were bad with money for years, told that their income was limited for one reason or another. Really start to break down what are those stories that we have in our mind that might be limiting us, and how can we open ourselves up to a new story? From there, we look at strategy, action, and support. So I think strategy is absolutely paramount. It's really important, but without having the clarity and knowing what your values are and recognizing that there may be some messages under the surface that are holding you back, the strategy doesn't work, right? And so that's where we start with those three, but then we move into strategy. Action is critical because a lot of times people think that in order to take action, you have to feel confident first. It's really the reverse, right? We have to take action, show ourselves what we're capable of to be able to really build that confidence. And then I think there's a message out there about how we're supposed to be able to do everything ourselves, and that's not reality. Nobody's born knowing how to manage money well. So I encourage people to get the support that they need. That's going to look different for different people. It might be a family member, it might be a professional financial planner, might be a group like the Empowered Sisterhood that I mentioned. But whatever that looks like for you, making sure you have that support to help you reach your goals.
That's wonderful. So, how can people get your book?
The book is available on Amazon, Intentional Money, The Modern Woman's Guide to Building Wealth, Purpose, and Peace.
That's wonderful. Now, if somebody wants to reach out to you because they're going through a divorce or they just have a transition they would like to talk to you about, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way is right on our website, which is www.intentionaldivorce.com. We have a contact page. You can reach out to my assistant and get you scheduled.
Perfect. Lee, I want to thank you so much. It's so cool because I like to let you talk because you just answer everybody's questions. It's funny. I was like, I feel lonely here because she's answering all the questions. But
I appreciate the opportunity to share the information.
no, you've been wonderful. You've done this many times before, so it's been great because you're covering the whole slew of questions that are being answered. So I want to thank you for being here. Appreciate you. And you know what? We kind of go through this topic once or twice a year, and I'd love to have you back again.
That would
And
be
thank you.
wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes. With that, I want to thank you for joining us. Folks, we'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Again, my name is Steve Sexton. Thanks for joining us today. Folks, I want you to welcome back you to the show. Today, let's talk about a big shift happening on Wall Street. Both BlackRock and Goldman Sachs just shared a very clear message. BlackRock says investors need to be smart about portfolio construction. We've been saying this for a long time, but here you go. They want you to ask a simple question. Why do you own each position in your portfolio? Think about that for a second. Do you have a real reason for every stock you hold, or do you just buy it because it was going up? And at the same time, Goldman Sachs is looking at tech and AI. They're not saying AI is dead, not at all, but they are asking tough questions about companies spending billions on AI infrastructure without showing any actual returns yet. They favor businesses already making money from it. Here is why this matters to us. BlackRock and Goldman Sachs do the same thing from different seats. Both giants stop talking about broad market hype and start focusing on careful selection and value that the game has changes. The easy money from riding the big wave is slowing down. Now, real earnings and smart choices separate the winners from losers. So I have to ask you a question, and I'd like you to think about this. If and when your advisor shared this information with you and made you aware of this type of management, it will take, what will it take to come out on the possible winning side? What are your thoughts for that? That is the reason now is the time to establish some guardrails, make some intelligent adjustments, and develop a precise exit study. Not to panic, okay? You just need to be prepared for the good, the bad, the uncertain. You know what? I get this question a lot. There's three of them. One, dealing with uncertainty. Let me tell you, uncertainty over the foreseeable future will be ruling a lot of decisions. We're in an uncertain world now. So how is your portfolio engineered to navigate through uncertainty and ensure you come through unscathed with your lifestyle intact? Number two, how is your portfolio currently engineered to take the opportunities of the good time? How is it set up? And remember, folks, in chaos, there's always opportunities. And you know what? For months, Wall Street's talk about this big red balloon that's floating around looking for a pin. We all know when a balloon and a pin meet, pop. Third question you need to be asking your advisor yourself. Is your portfolio engineered to absorb impact? Again, this is not about panicking, selling off, locking things in. This is about making intelligent financial adjustments so you can keep moving forward safely. That said, folks, I want to thank you all for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Leah Hadley is wonderful giving advice on emotional and physical impacts of divorce. And with that, I want to thank you all. You have a wonderful time. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.